Welcome to the Album Nerds Podcast with your hosts, Andy, Don, and Dude.
Soul Glow! It's the Album Nerds Podcast. I'm Dude. I got Andy and Don with me. How you gentlemen doing? Andy, what's up?
Doing good, brother. I was just reminded of a Halloween decoration we had growing up. This little skeleton. He would answer the door for you during trick-or-treaters, and he'd sing like, I'm a soul man. His little jaws like go up and down. How about you, Don?
Ready to get freaky.
What?
Gonna get freaky with you. Who was that?
Was that? Silk.
Silk.
Let me lick you up and down till you say stop.
Yeah, let me say stop right there, actually.
Wow. You spent some time with that record.
I had the cassette single. So this is the Album Nerds Podcast. We love albums, the album format, talking about them, listening to them, sometimes enjoying them, and sometimes we're not so sure. But on today's show, we're going to be talking about soul and R&B albums of the 1990s, which is a interesting time in music. So we're each going to pick an album and bring those to the table for discussion. Don's going to ask us a deep question. Then we're going to give some shout outs to albums and album related items we're digging. And then we're going to spin the wheel of musical discovery to find out what we'll talk about on the next show. This week, it's all about soul.
That's what I'm talking about!
R&B, or rhythm and blues, is a genre of popular music that originated within African-American communities in the 1940s. Soul music has its roots in gospel and R&B. It often features catchy rhythms, dance, and vocal interplay. R&B and soul evolved over time, incorporating elements of funk, disco, and synthesizers. And by the 1990s, it was soaked in hip-hop sounds and sensibilities. R&B and soul provided many stars in the 1990s, including Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey, Janet Jackson, Michael Jackson, Mary J. Blige, and TLC. Today, each of us will present an R&B or soul record from the 1990s.
Yeah, so like as I kind of alluded to earlier, there's some varied sounds by the 90s, artists kind of choosing a lane of what kind of soul or R&B music they were going to do. So how did you guys fare?
Well, it was a little bit of a challenge. As we said, it's kind of a transitional period. I listened to a handful of things from the early to mid-90s, kind of a new jack swing group called Mint Condition and their 1993 album From the Mint Factory.
Yeah, it's a bad title, but it's a good album.
Yeah, it was a fun record. I enjoyed that. This is the Tony Braxton's self-titled album, also from 93. And I dipped my toes into some Boys to Men. Their first two albums, quite enjoyable, actually.
Boys to Men, ABC, BBD.
Exactly.
The East Coast family.
Yeah, it's been caught in my head since then. Yeah, how about you, Don?
Well, I started with a record from Keith Sweat. The stuff I was familiar with was from more of that New Jack Swing era, but I listened to a self-titled album from 1996, which was different, and you know, it was a solid record. Also listened to Angie Stone, an album called Black Diamond from 1999, which you know, which was worth listening to. Dude,
yeah, first thing that came to mind was Maxwell and D'Angelo. Those are probably my dudes. That's the sound that I'm looking for in soul music. So for the 90s, that's perfection for me, but. I looked at Babyface for The Cool in You. He was, at the time, LaFace Records, him and L.A. Reid, producing a lot of good music, Tony Braxton and other artists. The Boomerang soundtrack, which I was a big fan of at the time. He had some solo work before, but at the peak of his fame, he came out with For The Cool in You. And it's a nice record. It's got the kind of vibe I'm looking for. Sade, Love Deluxe.
Oh, yeah.
Ordinary Love is a big song off of that. It played a little long, but it was still a great listen. And Mariah Carey, I figured we really needed to get to her. Emotions was the record I was close on. It was her second. It's got a lot of those vocal acrobatics that she was known for earlier years. And it was a little closer to the 80s, so it had that sort of horn-filled jazz sound. I was close on that one. But I ended up finding something that was more in the pocket for me. So why don't we stop yapping and start toe-tapping? Let's get to the albums.
You choose me?
Yeesh.
That is, of course, Marlon Wayans and his parody of the well-known song from Macy Gray, I Try. We're going to be talking about her 1999 album, On How Life Is. This was the debut studio record for the singer-songwriter from Canton, Ohio.
Where soul was born.
Yes. No part of our country says soul more than Canton, Ohio. Yeah. So this record here, On How Life Is, kind of helped to bring the fairly new neo-soul genre to a wider audience. And kind of crossed that pop barrier there. That
it's kind of a gray area.
Yes, very nice. I Try reached number 5 on the Billboard Hot 100 that year and went on to win her a Grammy for Best Female Pop Vocal Performance. Let's jump in here and play the lead single off the record. This is track 2, Do Something.
The swelly strings there, that's part of what kind of harkens back to classic soul.
Yes.
Yeah, she does a nice job of kind of mixing elements of, you know, 90s R&B and hip-hop with some throwback sounds of like 60s and 70s soul. My clickbait headline for this album is Little Gray Woman with Big Hair Tries to Convince Us She's from This Planet. She has such a unique and odd, I guess I would say, voice. And even outside of that, just her sensibility in terms of the topic she's talking about and just some of the production choices and or maybe lack of choices on this record are kind of odd. And at least at a minimum has a lot of personality and it just stands out, I guess. You know, besides her voice, there's lots of odd choices on this record. I think the moments where it's at its best is when it kind of is mixing more with the hip-hop sound of the 90s. The quieter moments when she's, you know, singing more of like a ballad kind of songs didn't quite work as well for me. Her voice is interesting, but it's not super powerful or overly emotive, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's the rasp and the bit of Tina Turner to it that I think kind of makes it stand out, especially on the songs where there's anything about rockiness and relationships that rasp did bring to mind some Tina Turner moments for me anyway. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it gives her voice like an edge, which I appreciate. But there's not much range, I guess, within that edge.
Right, yeah.
Let's jump in here and play that single that I'm sure everyone remembers. This is I Try.
I try to say goodbye and I choke. I try to walk away and I stumble. Though I try to hide it, it's clear.
I gotta say, I heard this song a lot and I never actually listened to it. I had no idea what the lyrics were until we did this.
I honestly didn't know most of them either.
It was just a jumble of sound because I completely ignored it when it was at its peak.
Yeah, this record was huge. As Andy said, you know, won a Grammy Award for Best Pop Vocal Performance. Lyrically, I like that it's kind of a vulnerable place that she's coming from, and kind of self-deprecating, I think. My clickbait headline for this record is On How Life Is becomes the next jagged little female pop pill for the world to swallow.
Well, there's a lot of words to swallow. Yeah. It's worse than me.
So, I kind of feel like this sort of took the baton from Alanis Morissette. You know, so we talked about Jagged Little Pill, which would have been like 95 and 96. And this is a few years later. You know, I feel like it sort of was that female record that women were gravitating to, which kind of celebrated honesty, but also kind of there's a sense of, you know, female empowerment in it as well. I guess because her vocals are kind of unique and quirky, that also reminds me of Alanis.
Yeah, I think quirky is a good word to describe both women, I would say.
Yeah, if Macy had tried to work in the into her thing, that would have been music for the ages.
Now that I think about it, it would be fun to have Macy Gray sing the Alanis songs and have Alanis sing the Macy Gray songs. I can picture all of them, I think.
All right. Well, you put that together, buddy.
I'll sing it at the end for you.
Oh, God. No, it's going to sound like Gollum.
I was actually surprised by how hip-hoppy this record is. Yeah. I don't know. It kind of works as a hip-hop record in some ways. Like, I think her voice, when she's doing more of like a spoken word approach or rap, it really works.
Yeah.
I think that's part of why this was able to kind of have crossover appeal, because by 1999, hip-hop had become top dog, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's integral to the success of this as well. You know, she also was on the Black Eyed Peas album doing vocals before Fergie joined the group. So
that's right, that Request Line song. Yeah, and I think this was probably a record that, you know, could have appealed to a broad audience and an older audience.
Yeah, it's basically like, you know, a lot of, like groups we were talking about, D'Angelo and Maxwell and Lauryn Hill, I think, too.
With the edges smooth.
Yeah,
out.
Exactly. Like, take away all that, like, urban-centered stuff that was in their music, and this is kind of like the more mainstream pop version of that kind of approach. Mm-hmm. All right, let's play another cut from the record. This is the opening track, Why Didn't You Call Me?
So, yeah, this single was released on July 24th, 2000. It was the fourth and final single from the album. I just like the honesty vibe here with, you know, apparently the story is that she went on a date with a bassist that was in the recording studio for this album, that she thought they had a good time and he never called her after. Like, putting that out there is pretty gutsy, right? And I think that's part of what appealed to people about this, was that it felt like honesty that Alanis feel. Even the Cyndi Lauper of a generation before Alanis in the 80s, that kind of quirky, I do what I want, I am who I am kind of thing. And it worked well for her. The music on that one was penned by Jeremy Aruzumna, a keyboard player, later joined Fitz and the Tantrums. Oh. But he worked on a lot of the music on this one, and I think helped shape the sound for the album. Clickbait headline for me is, with a voice that defies convention, Macy Gray fuses R&B, soul, and jazz on How Life Is. Results vary. It's much better than I ever expected. I had no expectations for it at all, but the production, the sound, they all are well put together, and it builds something that is an interesting listen. There were a lot of songs that I thought had just the right fusion. Like, I Try, Why Didn't You Call Me, A Moment to Myself, and Still. But then, like, Sexomatic Venus Freak just breaks it for me. It breaks the illusion. I ended up skipping that song on some of the listens.
Yeah, there's a couple tracks on here that are very sex-forward. I found that kind of refreshing, I guess. It's a very innocent sort of sexual light that she's looking at things in.
It's the words. Like, I'm all for being forward, especially like in an empowerment sort of way, but it's just Sexomatic Venus Freak. Just, it made it sound like a contraption on the Jetsons or something. It didn't sound like a real thing about sexual stuff. It felt like a canned way of doing it for me. But
gotcha.
Yeah, all in all, soulful enough to fit, but definitely a product of its time, but it doesn't sound dated to me for the most part.
Yeah, no, I was impressed going back to this as well. I would love for us to have gone a little bit further, maybe explored some of the more like spacey elements in her voice, and maybe get a little more psychedelic sounds incorporated into this mix here. I think she would work well with something like that. But
I'd like to hear like a Americana folky guitar thing from her. I bet that would be cool. And maybe she did that. I don't know. She has quite a discography. I haven't really gone through it, though.
I want to hear her sing, "Isn't it ironic?"
Nope. No. That was awful.
"Isn't it ironic?"
Sounds like an 80-year-old man with emphysema or something.
Yeah. So, sounds like an anti-smoking campaign. Terrible.
Okay. Well, summing up here, on How Life Is, Macy Gray, I think it's an interesting little time capsule from the late 90s. Not a perfect record by any means, but maybe not as bad as we might have remembered.
Wow. Gold star.
I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
If you're enjoying the show, and we hope you are, do us a solid and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app. Maybe we made you laugh, or you discovered an album you enjoy. Leaving a review keeps the show going and helps other music fans find us.
Stop! Okay, let's go to the top 10 groups that sound like diseases. Okay, 7. Simply Red. Well, that's okay. What you say to the doctor. It's Simply Red, Simply Doc.
Red. Yuck. So my pick for an R&B soul record from the 1990s is from the British band Simply Red, formed in Manchester in 1985.
Manchester, Vermont?
No, Manchester, England.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
the album is called Stars. It's their fourth studio album. The band actually has like 8 members, so I'm not going to go through all of them. But the most notable people you need to know, Mick Hucknall is the singer and songwriter. A lot of the songs are co-written by keyboardist Fritz McIntyre. This was a huge record in the United Kingdom. It was actually the best-selling album in the UK in 91 and in 92. Wow. Let's hear some of it. Here's a track called Your Mirror.
I'm sorry.
Are there birds in the background chirping there?
There are birds in that cool song. Yep. Yeah, so that song's written by Hucknall. Kind of dreamy. You know, I think the birds maybe, you know, make you feel like you're in this daydream or something. Yeah. Supposedly kind of depicts a man torn between idealism and cynicism. That's one thing I think that stood out about this record for me, like comparing it to other stuff that was out in the 90s. You know, in 1991, it was New Jack Swing and stuff like that. And it seems like the subject matter is a little different, or the lyrics are different. It's not all about like seduction and sex and innuendo and stuff like sure. that.
What would you say the main topic is? More intellectual?
Yeah, maybe more intellectual. I mean, there's still love and loss and loneliness. There's a couple more political tracks in there as well. So my clickbait headline is Don takes a big gulp of the Simply Red Kool-Aid.
Oh, nice. Drinking the Kool-Aid, huh?
Oh, yeah. Uh-oh.
Huh?
What is the red Kool-Aid? Is that cherry? It's delicious.
Fruit punch would be my red Kool-Aid choice.
So, you know, I mean, this is a record I hated in the 90s, or would have hated in the 90s. I would have put it with Michael Bolton and Kenny G and stuff like that. But I don't know, maybe it's just that that I'm getting older, you know, as I approach 50. It's more, I don't know, I appreciate it. I was listening while I was running and, you know, I'm like, oh, I like that song. And then, you know, the next song came on and be like, wow, that song was better than the last one. And you know, I dug it.
Trying to run away from the record, or was it like?
Yeah, but I mean, I guess I've gotten older too, because I'm about to say something I never thought I'd say. This is no Michael Bolton. I mean, Michael Bolton puts his vocal cords on the line for his soul music. Or attempt at it. Maybe that's the point. It felt spacey and starry and sleepy, so maybe.
And he's smooth. I mean, Michael Bolton's like constipated.
Constipated with talent.
Oh, boy.
I celebrate the guy's entire catalog.
Anyway, well, let's hear more. Here's the title track, Stars.
This is the only song I was familiar with from this album. I still prefer the 85, I Keep Holding On vibe. But I mean, that's why I picked this particular section, was he does bring it up a little bit with the vocals. And the guy definitely can sing. There's no question there. But it's more of an adult contemporary vibe to me than a soul.
I kept hearing that John Cicada song, Just Another Day Without You.
Yep. But it also kind of reminds me of some of what Annie Lennox was doing at this time as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, the song was written by Mick and Stuart, inspired by the concept of the European community with the EC's star symbol, even tattooed on Mick's arm. It was a kind of a comeback for the band. They had kind of faltered after their 85 breakthrough. But to promote the song, Simply Red's management came up with a unique idea. They named stars after program directors at many radio stations, you know, pay to name a star. Wow. To garner airplay. So
so they literally bought stars for DJs.
Named them after a program director and said, hey, we named a star after you. Will you play our singles? All right, so the clickbait headline I went with is, Gingers do have souls, but Simply Red's Stars album waters down blue-eyed soul for adult contemporary fans.
Gingers have souls!
It's a fine line between soft rock and soul and adult contemporary. Mm-hmm. Good background music, didn't really stir up much feeling in me. But it was a pleasant listen. I mean, it didn't anger me. I didn't throw my headphones across the room, but it didn't do much for me either. I think maybe some more sultry jazz elements, give it the Sade treatment, would have brought some of that soulfulness out in the sound. I feel like his voice wasn't enough to make it feel really soulful to me.
But. Yeah. If they could give the band a little bit more room to maybe stretch their legs, at times they did get to some interesting places instrumentally, I thought, but there wasn't really a lot of that on the record. It seemed like it's mostly focused around his vocals.
Well, let's hear some more. Here's a track called For Your Babies.
I don't believe in many things but in you. I do.
Yeah, that has a definite early 90s Rod Stewart thing going on.
Yeah, definitely. It's the third single from the record. Seems to be about kind of a father's love for his son. Reached number 9 on the UK singles chart. I mean, I enjoyed that track. I appreciate what they're talking about, and it's, you know, easy enough to listen to. I just didn't get much emotion from that. I feel like that should be a very emotional topic. You know, you're looking at your newborn son and talking about your connection there and this deep-rooted love.
Yeah, like With Arms Wide Open by Creed. They knew how to do it. They brought it.
My clickbait headline for Simply Red's album Stars is, I wish I may, I wish I might not have to listen to any more of this shite. It's way too adult contemporary for me to really take seriously, I guess. Well, I think maybe he does have some soul in his voice, but it's just so smooth away and kind of, there's not really any space for any sort of emotion to live in this sound, at least from my perspective. It just feels so lifeless and sterilized. It's got a little bit of that 80s shine in here. For sure. I mean, the band kind of gets interesting. The opening cut, Something Got Me Started, I kind of enjoyed that. It's a little bit more of a funk, a little more lively vibe to it. There's a little more of a group vocal on that, a little call and response thing, which I think worked pretty well when they do it. There's a track later on the record that also does that, Freedom. I thought that was pretty good. Mm-hmm. But other tracks really were misses to me. Model, it's kind of like a reggae tune. Yeah. Wow, that was so bad. It was one of the worst songs I've heard in a long time.
Yeah, it was UB40-ish. That's not a good thing. No, that was not good. To me.
I don't know. I'd be curious to hear the stuff they're doing in the 80s, because I did appreciate his voice. I could tell there's something to it, but this was not it for me.
Well, I will say that there were bonus tracks on this that were outside of the regular album, some blues stuff, Robert Johnson stuff. I really liked what he was doing on some of those blues songs. So, I mean, definitely, I'm not saying this guy sucks or the band sucks. It just didn't all click for me on this one for a soul record. But
No, I will second that, man. I felt like that second disc or whatever on the bonus record was 10 times better than the original album.
Interesting. All right. Well, if you're on your yacht this summer, this might be a good album for you. This is Simply Red Stars.
Excuse me. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Now, deep questions by Don. Well, Tuesday, May 21st is Rock and Roll Podcast Day. And so this is just a special occasion to sample some of the great music podcasts out there. Album nerds. I'm sorry.
Numero uno.
Well, so what rock and roll podcasts have you guys been checking out?
Yeah, I will throw out one that I particularly enjoy called Music Rewind with Stephen Epley. So this is like about an hour-long podcast. Basically, the concept is he has like someone on the show who talk about their favorite album. They're like a music fan or sometimes a musician or a band. And they really go in depth on a particular album, talking to like backgrounds and influences and go through it track by track. And I found it pretty interesting. Their episode I listened to recently was the Counting Crows record, Recovering the Satellites, which I thought was a good, interesting discussion. We also covered top bands like The Who, The Cranberries, Deftones. Stones, Pink Floyd. So they're kind of all over the place in terms of genres and time periods.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. No, they have good taste. So yeah, I definitely enjoy that. It's available on Spotify if you haven't heard it. It's called Music Rewind.
I went with Crate Expectations. We've actually collaborated with those guys before. Tom, Dan, Matt, and Chris. They do a really great job of covering a lot of bases. Vinyl culture, new and old bands, the music industry, gigs. I believe they're musicians within the group of fellas doing the show. And they talk about what they're finding when they're digging in record stores. They talk about Taylor Swift. They talk about King Gizzard and Lizard Wizard. They talk about classic rock, like all kinds of records. They have very broad taste. But the collecting, the discussing what they've recently purchased, how long it took to get from one country or another that they ordered it from. There's just a lot of good inside info that they provide, and they're fun to listen to and fun to work with. So hopefully we'll collab with them again soon. But check out Crate Expectations.
Nice. And I found one called Music Notes with Jess. It's hosted by Jessica and Katina. She basically focuses on current trends, like in popular music. The most recent episode discussed the nominees for the ACM Awards. She did an episode where she went through like the top 10 Dua Lipa songs, did a quick review of the latest from Beyonce and Taylor Swift and Justin Timberlake. So, you know, if you're looking for short updates, I mean, all her episodes are under 30 minutes, which I think is great. But yeah, if you need a quick update on what's going on in the music world, Jess is the one to go to. So it's called Music Notes with Jess.
Nice.
So make sure you celebrate Rock and Roll Podcast Day this Tuesday. Check out some of the great rock and roll podcasts out there and let us know what the good ones are. Instagram and Facebook, or leave a comment on our website, albumnerds.com.
We bring you a young man who won the big money on last year's Junior Star Search Special. Help me welcome Rahsaan Patterson.
All right. So I stumbled upon an artist I had not heard of before, Rahsaan Patterson. Born January 11, 1974, he first made waves in entertainment world on Star Search and played the role The Kid on the 1980s TV show Kids Incorporated. It was like about a kid's band. I used to watch it, and they played music videos and stuff. But he began his musical journey doing backing vocals for other artists, and then finally was able to get his debut album out in 1997, self-titled. Why don't we jump in and listen to a little bit of Stop By. Come around my way, baby, stop by. So the album was released in 1997 under MCA Records, peaked at number 48 on Billboard's Top R&B Hip Hop Albums chart, showcasing his soulful vocals and songwriting, but it didn't take off. It didn't really break through. That particular song is kind of a hookup booty call sort of vibe, which I think covers a lot of what's happening on this record. Just hearing that track, this is the first track, I immediately was like, this is the vibe I'm looking for. Stevie Wondery, 70s funky,
sexy,
soulful, sexy hookup album type of thing. But the one thing it's missing is, for me, is a little fleshing out of who Rahsaan is, maybe something not about hooking up and stuff, and maybe about his life experience or something else going on out there in the world. I would have liked a little bit of that.
Maybe that's what Rahsaan is all about.
Maybe, but I think he continues to make records as recently as 2019. He seems to have evolved a little bit in his sound, where there's a little bit more of a mix of that kind of thing. But this was his first record and looking for a hit. So my clickbait headline to describe this album, Rahsaan Patterson's debut album, distilling soul and R&B into a smooth and savory concoction using 70s soul sounds as garnish. So you definitely have your Stevie Wonders and even some, there's even some Lionel Richie moments in here for me. Mm-hmm. Songs like Tears Ago, My Sweetheart, Spend the Night highlight his ability to infuse that influence, but still make it unique and have his own style. So
yeah, he definitely wears the influences on his sleeve. a handful of tracks here sound a lot like Stevie Wonder, especially.
Yeah, like My Sweetheart.
Yeah.
I think that's just how he sings. I don't think it was super intentional, but it does have that Stevie vocal feel to it, for sure.
Even some of the bass sound very Stevie Wonder-ish from like the 70s.
Which no,
it's
totally
great.
It's
a great sound, for sure.
Yeah, it's just the songs and album run a little long, but again, you gotta debut albums. I try and give a little leeway to. Why don't we jump into another track? This one is called "Spend the Night." A little bit of that early 90s wee-oo type.
I was hearing some Barry Gibb in there. A little "How Deep Is Your Love" or something.
Yeah. I thought the track was like maybe the nicest combination of like the retro vibe with kind of a more modern style. He's got a great voice. I mean, super smooth and sensual. My clickbait headline for this album is, "It's a wonder Patterson didn't become more popular." It does kind of feel like kind of a, you know, undiscovered gem, or just kind of maybe got brushed over, or maybe he was in the wrong time period, or who knows, had a wrong record label or something. But I felt like this could have been more popular at the time.
Yeah, I agree. It melded a lot of the different sounds that were going on at the time, but maybe it didn't have that one punchy single to get it. The radio, you know, like something with some hip hop stuff or a guest rapper or something to break through it in 1997 and get some attention on it.
Yeah, it kind of feels like you need that almost at this time period. You're like a radio hit.
Yeah.
But the record, I thought it was pretty enjoyable. I mean, like you said, it's maybe a little bit overly long, but it's solid, and there's not really a lot of bad songs on here. I felt maybe kind of middle of the road for me, I guess, overall.
The best part for me is that I'd never heard it before.
Yeah.
Low expectations.
So here, just something new, right? Like undiscovered territory, and then getting into his more recent catalog as well. That's always that can be a really fun part of doing a show like this.
Yeah.
Or just if you don't have a podcast and you're looking all the time for something, when you find a thing that's like, yeah, that's a great feeling. So
yeah, he definitely is in that vibe for sure. He has a good vibe, but
maybe he just needed a video like with that focused on his abs. Maybe he didn't have the abs. I don't know.
Got the abs to be in this business.
All right, so why don't we get into a little bit of Soul Free? Yeah, this is probably a good album for No Time with your special someone.
No Time?
Yeah. So this is one of the few songs on the album that actually isn't about like somebody dropping by or staying, you know, having to stay the night. Yeah. So this one's actually, I think, about the end of a relationship, and he's, you know, kind of looking for his freedom, but doing it exiting, I think, in a polite and nice way. So my clickbait headline is simply, "The Kid Becomes a Soulful Man." A soul man, if you will.
There you are.
There is a lot of, you know, typical of R&B, there's a lot of seduction going on, but it doesn't cross the line of creepiness, I think, like a lot of things do in this era.
Yeah, it's romantic. Largely.
Yes. And even though, I mean, he has a youthful voice, but it's kind of a mature record, I think. Mm-hmm. But you guys mentioned the length of the record. It wasn't so much the overall length of the album or that it had too many songs, but I feel like each song is just a little too long. You know, a lot of them are like 5 minutes, and I think they could be four. Yeah. Or less.
Yeah. Towards the end of the record, Tears Ago, which I thought when I saw the song title, I'm like, oh God, instead of Years Ago, I get it. But it actually works. But that one is a 5 minute song. That one's probably could be 4.5. But
well, this is, you know, I think one of the nice parts of doing a show like this, because I probably never would have listened to this record or even heard of it. And now I know about it, and I'll keep it in the collection.
Yeah, I tripped over it on some list on Reddit or something of good soul albums. So Yeah, definitely Rahsaan Patterson. If you haven't heard of him, go check this album out. And then if you dig it, check out the catalog. I mean, this is a very talented guy with some really good soul R&B music that if you're into the genre, you will definitely enjoy.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Well, we all had an enjoyable week of R&B and soul from the 1990s. But what else have you been digging lately?
All right, guys, come on over here to Sacco Land. What is it called? Sack Shop?
Sack City.
The Sack Shack.
Like Sack Shack. Yeah. That's terrible.
Come on over to my Sack Shack and see what new releases I got for you. Oh. All right. First up, we have a hardcore metal group from Kentucky called Knock Loose.
Whole lot of chatter about these guys out there. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that record's pretty great. I just heard it a few days ago for the first time. It's called You Won't Go Before You're Supposed To.
Like they're going to scare the horses.
Yeah, but there's been a lot of buzz about this. And I think it might actually be... end up being bigger than most things of its genre would be in the mainstream.
Interesting. It's a pretty diverse sounding record. I mean, it definitely isn't that hardcore vibe, but there's different styles within that, I would say. It made it a little more of an interesting listen for me.
Billie Eilish gave them a big shout out, so if that doesn't move the needle, I don't know what will.
It's an interesting recommendation. Okay, next up for me is from a French dance music duo by the name of Justice. They've been around for quite a while now. I've never really been a big fan, but I've been listening to their latest album called Hyperdrama. I found it pretty enjoyable. Very dance-orientated.
This one's got Tame Impala.
Yes. Some interesting guest spots on this record that kind of make it a little more diverse sounding.
Don's gonna like it. I hear some bass.
Inner space.
Is it all kind of spacey, or does it kind of depend on who the guest is?
Yeah, this is one of the more spacier tracks. It's pretty club-focused, generally, I would say.
Okay.
And then last one up for me is kind of a... It's a new album, but it's of an old live recording from Neil Young and Crazy Horse. The album is titled Fuckin' Up. It's a recording of the 1990 album Ragged Glory. You guys are familiar with that record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that record. I'd rather just listen to that than this personally.
But yeah, it kind of gives a nice live energy to the tracks on that album if you're a fan.
There's a good live version of this song by Pearl Jam that I really dig.
Nice. What you been digging on, Don?
Well, you guys remember Crowded House?
Sure.
From Australia. Well, they have a new album coming out at the end of May called Gravity Stairs. They have several songs actually already out from the album, but there's one called Teenage Summer that almost seems like an attempt at kind of like a summer single, you know, like the big, you know, a song of the summer. Sounds pretty interesting.
Sounds a little more mellow than I anticipated.
Yeah. Of course, there's another album I've been listening to lately that I won't mention.
Pet Shop Boys. Yeah, we get it. All right, so for me, I did stumble upon kind of a, guess it's a stoner doom kind of vibe, but it's the Lunar Effect is the band. Sounds of Green and Blue is the album. And I've never heard them before, but I dug the whole thing quite a bit. It's groovy and metallic at times, but kind of bluesy. I don't really know how to... But I guess maybe it has a bit of a Queens of the Stone Age.
I hear that, definitely.
I was hearing Arctic Monkeys.
Yeah, there we go. But an interesting listen, definitely worth checking out, and I'll be looking at the rest of their catalog, cool. too. I procured a gold disc copy of Maxwell's Urban Hang Suite, which, if we hadn't already done it on the show, would have been my choice today.
It's a good one.
Yeah, I didn't listen to it at all at the time, but in subsequent years, I've just come to really embrace this record. Hold it tight, sway back and forth.
Does steam actually come off the vinyl when you're playing it?
It does. I was just so mesmerized by it. I tried kissing it.
Oh my gosh.
I knocked the needle off the thing. It draws you in. So yeah, go check out our episode where we talk about Maxwell's Urban Hang Suite for more details, but go listen to the damn record.
Right. Well, what have you been digging? Let us know. Visit us on the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Also on our website, albumnerds.com.
It will be a discovery of extraordinary value.
Well, it's about that time on the show, and I'm reminded of the great American songwriter George Gershwin, who wrote "Summertime and Living is Easy, the Fish are Jumping, and the Cotton is High." With that in mind, let's bring out my friend and yours, Wadbot, to see what we'll be talking about on next week's show.
It has been declared the Summer of Don by the album nerds. With that in mind, I will be choosing which albums from Don's curated list you will be exploring this summer. Next time, you will be opening the doors of your perception with LA Woman by The Doors.
Summer of Don, Don the Summer, Summer Down Now. Yes, so it looks like Don has cultivated a list of albums you want to talk about that Andy and I got to before your time. Is that right?
Yes, I want to get my 2 cents in about all these interesting records.
Nice. Then we'll let the wheel decide which ones we talk about. This time the wheel has decided that we're going to go back to The Doors' LA Woman. Should make for a really good conversation. Definitely join us for that one.
Doors of Perception, man.
That's right.
Don't forget, Tuesday, May 21st is Rock and Roll Podcast Day. Check out some of the great rock podcasts out there. Let us know what you find. Leave a comment on our website or email us at podcast@albumnerds.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Album Nerds. And please subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app. And if you want to support the show, you can do so via PayPal at albumnerds.com/support.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Album Nerds podcast. We'll see you next time when we kick off the Summer of Don.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Catch you next week.
Back in school, we used to dream about this every day.
Remember that? Motown.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if we're going to do anything, it should be the dum dum da da.
Are you gonna do Alanis Macy? Macy Alanis?
No.
He tried and he choked.
That's good.